Looking for an assist with your credit card, but you can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Pitch, and this game is tied.
There you have it, home run call of the day. Randy Arozarena goes deep. Dwayne Stats with the call. Excellent job. What a way to start the week. What a way to start the week, but before we get going and continue to propel ourselves through what is going to be an awesome week, let me just give you this news. We are welcoming in a new partner, a title partner, a title sponsor, the great people at Wasabi Technologies, Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage. Yep, Wasabi. You're going to hear a lot about Wasabi. You probably already have, but you're going to hear a lot from us. We're going to be screaming from the mountaintops because not only are they our title sponsor, but they are our new best friends. And with best friends, we like to have fun. We like to do things. We like to hang out. We like to do all of it. Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage, it is just such an awesome organization with such awesome people. I know the people, and I'm so happy that Wasabi is our title sponsor. We've been talking about title sponsors, about having somebody say, hey, KK, you know what? Baseball's a boring podcast. The cause, the revolution. Who wants to be the face of this? Well, we got a perfect, perfect partner. Perfect, perfect new best friend. Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage, Wasabi Technologies. Like I said, you're going to hear a lot more from us about them. All right. Well, it's a great day to launch our partnership with Wasabi because it's going to be a great podcast today. It is a great podcast today. We got two items here. We have the most intriguing player in all of minor league baseball. His name's Noah McClain. He plays for the Brooklyn Cyclones, single A team for the Mets. And we have the excellent reaction to the news of the weekend, which was the Luis Arraez trade to the San Diego Padres. But first, we're going to go with Nolan McClain. Nolan joined me. He was a third-round pick last year of the Mets. And what makes him so intriguing? What makes him so fascinating? Well, he's the next Shohei Ohtani. I don't know about that, but he's the next two-way player. Two-way player who's doing awesome in his first foray in professional baseball, being a two-way player. As you know, not a lot of them. But the Mets said, hey, you know what? Give it a whirl. Sure. And he's doing just that, and he's doing excellent. 834 OPS hitting, 094 ERA pitching. He's good at both. So because of this, we wanted to talk about the what's what when it comes to being a two-way player. Could this happen again? And when I say again, other than Shohei Ohtani, could this happen? Well, Nolan certainly thinks so. The Mets think so. That's why they're letting him get a crack at doing it. It is a great conversation with Nolan McClain. And after that, we're going to get to Sam Levitt. Sam is the pregame and postgame show for 97.3 The Fan in San Diego. And there's no better person to talk to about this Luis Arraez trade. But first, we're to get to Nolan. Nolan McLean, everybody. Rate, review, subscribe. At BB Isn't Boring. Today's a good podcast. Tomorrow will be a good podcast. Tomorrow, the next day will be a good podcast. It's going to be a great week. We're going to kick it off right now, though, with Nolan McLean.
All right, there's no human being on the planet that I would rather talk to right now than Nolan McLean. Fact. Hey, Nolan, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
All right. This Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. First off, Nolan, you epitomize why baseball isn't boring. Congratulations.
I appreciate it.
So that's why I want to ask you, there's no wrong answers. Why isn't baseball boring for you?
I think because not every day is going to be the same, no matter what, no matter how you're feeling, good, bad, or otherwise, every day is going to be a little bit different than the last one.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I think that's unique compared to other sports. You'd be feeling the best ever in baseball, seeing the ball great at the plate or throwing the best on the mound, and it might still end up not going in your favor, which is pretty unique in its way. So yeah, that's my answer.
Well, perfect. Like I said, you're the perfect person to answer. You epitomize baseball never being the same. And I think I read somewhere where you talked about, obviously, you know, pitching and hitting. And you said, I want to be, and I'm going to paraphrase Nolan, so I apologize. You want to be feel like a kid for as long as you can, right? Like,
yep.
This is what we do. The best player plays, let's say, shortstop. He pitches, he catches, he's wherever the action is.
Yep.
Were you worried at any point in your career that was going to be not an option for you, that you weren't going to be able to have that joy?
Yeah. I mean, there's times where obviously the old schoolness of baseball kind of says not to do it, and it's not smart to do it. But at the end of the day, I tried to control what I could, and that was just going out there every day, competing the best I could, and having the most fun that I can. And at the end of the day, I've been playing a game since I was a little kid, and I wanted to continue to have the joy now that I had when I was 5, 6, 7, 8 years old playing with my buddies. I try to treat it the same way, even as I'm doing it now as a job.
So when you were drafted by the Orioles originally, they had said, and correct me if I'm wrong, they said, yeah, you know, we'll let you do this, but we're going to prioritize pitching. Now, take me through that. About, did that lead you to say, hey, I want to stay in school. I want to keep doing what I'm doing and maybe take another whack at it the next time around, where someone says definitively, like the Mets are right now, you can pitch, you can hit. Am I off base with any of that?
I don't think that was necessarily the decision. At the end of the day, the Orioles saw something that they didn't want to go through with, and we couldn't come to an agreement at the end of the day. I don't think it was anything to do with pitching, hitting, or both. It was post-draft physical more than anything that we just couldn't come to terms with. And I ended up saying, hey, I'll just go back to school and live to fight another day and just trust the process that God has in store for me.
So when you go through it, and I've been talking to a lot of guys about the months and the weeks leading up to the draft about, you know, you can't opt out of a bowl game in baseball, right? You
know, right.
So you're going through that. What's your mindset? I know that you say, hey, I just want to compete with my guys. I'm playing baseball. I'm prioritizing Oklahoma State. I want to prioritize this and I worry about the draft. But it's hard, especially after you make that, you know, that decision. It's hard to not put that in your head. So talk to me about that, about any anxiety or stress you had leading into last year's draft.
I don't think there was really any anxiety or stress for me. I think something I have that's going for me is the ability to just go out there and play. I was pretty content with just going out there, having the most fun I can, and whatever happens for my future on draft day, that's what was going to happen. And I could only control the controllables, and that was competing every single pitch and trying to win baseball games for Oklahoma State. And I felt like that helped me more than anything, anxiety-wise or nerves or anything that it might be when it comes to the draft. Because at the end of the day, whoever likes you, and it's going to be up to them. It's their discretion if they pick you or not.
All right. Well, it must have been awesome that the team that liked you said to you, all right, let's go. Pitch, hit, let's do it all. I mean, that must have been when you – I don't know if you were sitting there and they're – like how that – take me to that moment where they said that and that feeling that you had when they said, hey, okay, we're all in. We're with you, Nolan.
Yeah. So day one, I didn't really hear anything. And I was just talking with my agent and I was like, hey, like what teams like are really, really open like to let me hit? And they're like, the Mets are going to be one of them that are going to be open to both. And it just happened on day two. So, hey, the Mets want you with, I believe it was a 91st pick or something like that. And I was like, let's do it. Like, let's rock and roll. And an area scout that I was in contact with for a couple years now reached out to me and was like, hey, let's go right after I got drafted by the Mets. So it was pretty special moment for me and my family, to know I'm going to get to keep being a little kid and keep playing both sides of the ball.
It's awesome. So now that you're doing it, and I think you said that your starting helps a little bit, right, with the routine and everything. We all, first of all, congratulations on being in the same conversation as Shohei Ohtani. We should always aspire to that.
Right? For sure.
I mean, it's not a bad thing. So now that you're doing it, can you feel like this could be a thing? Like Nolan, like we've talked about this Ohtani thing for the last couple of years, and there's been examples. But you're first of all, congratulations, you're doing it really well. But can this be a thing in your mind in Major League Baseball or in professional baseball?
I think so. Now, obviously, there's a big step from high A baseball to the major leagues. But I think Ohtani's making it seem possible for more guys like him. Obviously he's a freak of nature, but I think with the right routine and the willingness and want to do it, I think it's definitely possible. Obviously you have to prioritize baseball more than anything else in your life. And if that's something that you're willing to do, I think it's very, very possible.
What's the biggest challenge you think?
I think routine more than anything. And obviously you can't control injuries. You can do the best you can, but I mean, you see Ohtani's kind of going through it a little bit right now from his arm, but I think, trying to control it the best you can and building a routine that keeps longevity in mind, cause it's a long season. But, I think if you have the right routine, it's very, very capable of doing it.
You having fun?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, I mean, it's because listen to me, it's nerve wracking, man. Like you're starting your career, it's good, but it seems like you're having fun. It seems like you're the kid who's going out playing throwing the one finger crap kicker and wiffle ball, and then imitating batting stances, and
I don't know why the game, like, I don't know what changes in people's mind from when we hit, I guess it's probably high school for most people, to start specializing in sports and even positions. I was multiple sports, multiple positions, just kind of going out there and being a baseball player first, and just whatever happened, happened.
Can I tell you, Mike Trout was on the podcast 2 weeks ago, and he said that exact thing. Like, so Mike Trout was, he played basketball, he played football all the way through, and he said, if I give anyone advice, it's to just keep playing, man. And I saw that, you like, so if you want to echo Mike Trout's comments, number one, in this podcast, you've been compared to Shohei Ohtani and now Mike Trout. It's not bad.
Yeah, I'll take those two. How about that? I agree with Mike Trout on that. I don't think anything's helped me quite as much as just being able to adapt to my surroundings by having a basketball, football, baseball background, whatever it might be. Like, if there's some kind of game at a pool party or a cookout or something like that, you best believe I'm going to be in it. And I think that's what helps me more than anything. Cause there might not be something in high school in a position that you get into with your body that you get into in baseball that you might get into on a basketball court, whether it's having to guard guys who are way faster, way stronger, way more athletic than me, or trying to escape the pocket as a quarterback. I think there might be, even if it's very slim, there's a slim chance that it translates over to baseball. And I think just not specializing super early also keeps it fun later on in life. It's not a job. I love what I do. And I always have.
The last thing is, and by the way, we will be sending you baseballs and boring t-shirts. How many you want? You want one for the whole team?
Send as many as you got.
Listen,
big t-shirt guy.
As Xander Bogaerts said, your triceps will never look better. They're good shirts. The last thing is, along those, what you just talked about, give me your best athletic achievement. Now, it can be, I'm dating myself, the movie Napoleon Dynamite, where Uncle Rico says he could throw a football over a mountain, but maybe it's like at a pool party. Give me your best athletic achievement.
Oh, man. I don't know. I just think it's really cool being really good at everything. Whether it's like the ability to dunk a basketball or throw a football. I mean, I can sling a football pretty well.
And you can dunk.
Or whether it's,
you can dunk?
Yeah, all for right. Sure. If it's ping pong, I'm pretty nasty at ping pong too. So I don't know. I think the ability to do everything pretty decently and be competitive in any sport I pick up, I think is something I'm pretty good at.
By the way, you just gave me my next t-shirt idea. It's pretty cool to be pretty good at everything.
I like that.
All right. Hey, thank you so much, man. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate it. It's a blast talk with you.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me.
All right, a lot of fun talking to Nolan. Thanks to him for joining us. Friend of the program, now part of the family, like you said. The family just keeps on growing. Baseball isn't boring. All right. As we said, we also wanted to take a deep dive into the news of the weekend. That was Luis Arraez going to the San Diego Padres in a big trade. Four guys. Marlins taking on the money. It is, you just don't see these in early May, which is exactly why we had to get to the what's what. All right, here you go. Sam Levitt, 97.3 the game, pregame, postgame, a guy who's in the clubhouse, a guy who has the heartbeat of that San Diego Padres team, which is a fascinating team. He's the one who is going to be our boots on the ground when it comes to this trade and when it comes to the Padres. Here's Sam.
All right, there's no human being on the planet I'd rather talk to more than Sam Levitt. What's going on, Sam? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Beautiful day here in San Diego, so that's always good. But everything is good here and enjoying the baseball season so far.
Right. I love your team. I love it. I love the Padres. I know that they're sort of in, you know, I don't want to say wallowing. They're sort of drifting along. But I think it's going to be one of these cases, Sam, especially considering the move that they just made, which we're going to dig into in a second. But I'm like, here we go. Like, I'm like, I just feel you have a better sense for this. And this is why I want to talk to you of this team at some point is going to go boom. And I'm pointing up. And I just feel like these teams in the West are lingering. I feel like it's there, Sam. I know that Sunday wasn't a good day for them, but still, I feel like it's there. Tell me if I'm full of hooey or not. Tell me if I'm right or wrong.
No, I agree with you. I think that this team will start playing some really consistently good baseball at some point. And I say that for a couple of reasons. And before I get to why that is, you're right. It's been up and down so far. I mean, just in the last week and a half, 2 weeks, it's shown that. I mean, they lost five in a row as of Monday, a loss against Cincinnati, and things were not going well. They were four games below 500, and you were sort of sitting there and thinking to yourself, you know, this schedule is pretty tough, and this could get a little out of hand, and you could find yourself, you know, well below 500. But to their credit, they bounced back with a four-game winning streak. Today didn't go all that well. That four-game win streak gets snapped, but they bounce back to get to 500. They make the trade for Arise. And I think you feel better, certainly at the end of this week, than where you felt on Monday when they were in the midst of a five-game losing skid. And the reason I do agree with you that I do think this team will have a run and really play some consistently good baseball, really two reasons. Number one, they can hit. I think this lineup, especially with the addition of Arise, if they can get what you hope they'll get from the big three of Manny, Tatis, and Bogarts, along with Jake Cronenworth, who's having a bounce back season, you know, along with Ha-Sung Kim playing better, along with Jackson Merrill putting together a really nice rookie campaign. Jerickson Profar has been unbelievable. He has been so good this year for a guy that, you know, they brought in on just an $1 million deal. Luis Camposano's had some really good stretches out of the catcher spot. And now you add Arise. The point being, there is the potential for this lineup to be long and do some really, really good things consistently. So that's reason one. But I think reason two, you talk about the potential of the rotation. You know, if Darvish can settle in a little bit, he was much better coming off the IL his last start. Unfortunately, we found out today, and we're recording this on Sunday, Joe Musgrove going on the IL doesn't sound like anything overly serious with some tricep tendonitis, but he is going on the IL. And then Dylan Cease has been great so far as a Padre. And Michael King, I think, has really shown flashes of what he can be. And as long as he limits the home runs, I think he's going to be just fine. I think he's going to be very, very good as a starting pitcher. He has the stuff to do it. So you can sort of tell, and the bullpen's been pretty good for the most part. And it's a pretty deep bullpen at this point, especially from the left-handed side. I think if the rotation can really get rolling and they get what you think they'll get from their stars, yeah, I do think there's a run in here. They've got a tough schedule still for another month and a half, but I'm with you. You know, I think there is a run in here. I think there is consistently good baseball that can very, very much potentially come. So there's a lot of, I think, at this point, untapped potential in this team that I don't think we've necessarily seen yet. And, you know, we haven't seen consistently yet.
I want to loop back to the vibe, a lot of what vibes of what you're talking about, but I don't want to bury the lead. And that's obviously what you said, Arise. It was really the talk of baseball throughout the weekend, heading into this new week. You just don't see trades, certainly of this magnitude, this early in May. We can do the exercise. I believe me, you know, fan bases scream and yell for these type of trades in early May. And the GMs have said that you just can't do them. And lo and behold, here you go. I'm just going to open the floor to you, man. Like, I'm just going to open the floor to you. What is the feeling about this, how this impacts this team?
I think the reaction from the fan base was very positive. And I think that's for two reasons. Number one, Arise is such a unique player and such a unique hitter. And I think he fits in really well with this lineup, somebody that can get on base and hit for obviously a super high average above the guys like Tatis and Cronenworth and Machado and Bogarts and even Profar with what he's doing right now. So I think number one, the player you got, and you got him until the end of next season at the very least, I think that says a lot. The Padres gave up some talent. I thought the Marlins got a good return. I thought the timing of the trade obviously was really interesting. I mean, doing it on May 3rd, you know, and obviously I think, you know, if you're a Marlins fan, maybe you feel differently about it because you made the trade so early.
Well, you waved the white, the GM, Peter Bendix,
right,
waved the white flag. It's not
right.
It's not a metaphorical. It's literally, he might as well take it out of his pocket.
Yeah.
And waved it in front of the microphones, which he did verbally. So that's the thing. I mean, along with having a trade in early May, right, you don't have a GM saying we give up that early. Anyway,
right,
go ahead.
I'm right. Sorry. Yeah, no, the look, I think the prospect package the Marlins got back is a good one. I think Dylan Head is somebody who's young. He was a high school outfielder from last year's draft, playing at low A, but he's got tons of speed and, you know, obviously, you know, has a ton of potential being a first round pick. Morrissey, Martorella could very much be big leaguers and good hitters. The Padres, I know with Morrissey, were really high on him, gave him a real look during spring training, elected to put him back at Double A when camp broke. And obviously, Usuko, they got as well, the reliever that the Padres signed from Korea. So I don't want to focus too much on the trade package because really that's a Marlins thing now. But I think my take on it was this, because look, in the offseason, obviously the Padres made a lot of moves. They traded Juan Soto. They shed a ton of payroll. And I think for some people that only paid attention to that, they may look at it and say, well, why are the Padres then going and trading for Cease? Why are they going and trading for a rise? Well, there are two reasons for it. Number one, they have, and this is a credit to AJ Preller, they have a minor league system that he's rebuilt so quickly that they have the prospect depth to do it from. I mean, they were able to make this trade while not touching any of their, albeit younger, top of the line position player prospects. They didn't have to touch any of their pitching prospects. And some of those guys are pretty close to major league ready. And I think maybe a couple of them could even contribute as early as this year. So they had the prospect capital to do it. And also, you know, this is not a situation, despite the Padres trading Soto, despite the Padres reducing payroll significantly, where you're looking at them saying, well, they have no chance to win. No, this is a team that has Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., Xander Bogaerts, Jake Cronenworth, who's having a bounce back year, Musgrove, Darvish. You know, they add Cease, obviously, right before the season started. This is a team that number one, I think, can find a way into the postseason with the expanded field. But if they get there, based on their pitching and the star power in their lineup, they could certainly make a lot of noise in the postseason like they did in 2022. So they're in a position where, you know, I think two things can be true at once. They need to keep developing, building from within. You know, I don't know that they're going to spend the type of money they've spent in years past, but there is a window with the Padres to win right now and make a lot of noise right now. And those two things can be happening simultaneously. And that's why I thought, you know, credit to AJ Preller, I thought the move made a lot of sense. And I don't feel like they, you know, gutted the farm system to do it by any means. So, and the player you got back in Arise, I think, is a great fit for this lineup.
Well, you know, and we can go down the list of people who've actually been coming on this podcast, and you know, Rich Hill said it was the best hitter that he's ever seen. Yeah. Charlie Blackman, you know, basically said what he did, what he's doing, and what he did is like one of the most incredible things in baseball. But besides that, besides we know he's a good hitter, why was he the right fit for this team? I think you touched on a little bit, but. For a team to target, and a lot of this is going to come out, I think, in the next couple of days, probably. Well, was he able to sort of tunnel under and clandestinely get this deal done, mm-hmm. or did he just give the best offer? Well, whatever the case,
yeah,
he identified him and got him. Why?
Yeah, look, I think obviously Arise, you know, it goes without saying, all you have to do is just look at his numbers over the course of the past handful of years. He's one of the best pure hitters in the game. And the reason I think he fits well in this lineup is because they could use that on base, you know, spraying the ball around the field kind of guy. I think also Arise is a great fit for Petco Park, which is a big ballpark. There's plenty of room to roam. I can see Arise using the lines and the gaps a lot. I mean, just, you know, not that Arise is somebody that I watched every single at bat he took in Miami over the course of the last couple of years, but just watching him yesterday and here today, it's, you know, you can see with his approach. I mean, he's scanning the field, the way he goes the other way, the way he seemingly has an ability to place the ball where he wants to. I think he's a good fit for the ballpark. And I think in front of guys that can drive him in, putting him at the top of the lineup like they have the last couple of days, I think it's a really good fit. Somebody who's going to get on base in front of guys like Tatis and Cronenworth and Machado and Bogarts that you hope are going to be hot, that you hope are going to play to what their potential is and be able to drive him in. So, you know, the Padres, and if you want to go back even further, and I heard, I can't remember, I was listening to today and somebody brought this up and it was a good point. You know, look, Arise and Juan Soto are not the same type of hitter. I think we all understand that. But from a, you know, putting the ball in play, and not that Arise's on base percentage has been as high as Soto's, I'm not saying that, and they're very different hitters, but he does provide a little bit of that on base, you know, quality at bat, spray the ball around, you know, element to the lineup, which I guess you could argue they lost when they traded Soto. So, you know, I think he's a good addition for this lineup, which I think should have plenty of pop and plenty of run producing and power around him. If you had a lineup that didn't have that, maybe he's not as great of a fit, right? Because maybe you're looking for some more power. But this lineup should have plenty of it. So for that reason, I think he's a nice fit. I do.
That made a lot of sense. So the last thing is, Sam, is, you know, I saw you briefly like a day in spring training. And yeah. The year before, it was the same deal, swung through. And my impression a year ago in spring training was this was, you know, this was the mecca of baseball, the offseason, the shock and awe offseason. And then it was basically like what the Dodgers were this year. I gotta be honest with you. That's what it felt like. And then you go to this year, and it was definitely a different vibe, and not in a bad way. Like not in a bad way. There's a new manager. You've taken Soto out of the equation, so you would know better than anyone. Oh, how has this changed? Like we still think they might be better this year than last year.
Yeah.
I'm just fascinated about the vibe of it all. Like, how has that changed over the last year?
Yeah, look, obviously there's been a lot of change, you know, moving Soto. And I think also just coming off the disappointment of last year and what it was on the field and the expectations. And also how odd last year was during the season with the weirdness of the one-run games and the inability to put together a winning streak of four games until mid-September and going 0-12 at one point in extra innings. I mean, you know, talking to guys over the course of the last few months, it was just a weird season in 2023 for so many different reasons. And obviously, it was really disappointing. You know, look, I think Mike Schilt's brought a lot of positive energy. You know, the way he puts a lot of faith in his players. He's very, very positive, you know, with the way he at least speaks to us and speaks about his players and goes about his business day to day. And I think he's somebody that really, you know, stands by his players, is about the fundamentals. And I do think that's something that will shine through over the course of 162. So look, I, you know, on one hand, it's a different team because they don't have Juan Soto. They don't have Josh Hader. They don't have Blake Snell. When you look at it that way, I think entering spring training, you sort of looked at things and said, well, you know, there are a lot of the same faces here, but man, there's a lot of talent that's went out the door, right? And somehow with all that talent last year and some of the incredible seasons they got from Snell and Hader and Ha-Sung Kim, they only won 82 games. I mean, it just seemed mind-boggling, and I guess in some ways it still kind of is. But with that said, I think even with those guys gone, the formula is still kind of the same. And that's for two reasons. Number one, I think they got to have really good starting pitching. They need Darvish. They need Musgrove to be the best versions of themselves. They need Cease to be really good. They need Michael King to be the centerpiece of the Juan Soto trade they thought they were getting. And look, you know, it's still, and I guess you could add a rise now to this mix, but they need Tatis, Machado, and Bogarts on a lot of nights to carry the way. They need Manny to be Manny. They need Tatis to be somewhat close to the 2021, you know, production of Fernando Tatis Jr. They need Xander Bogarts to play better. I mean, I still think they're in a lot of the argument for the Padres, a lot of that goes to, hey, if those guys are who they should be, it's a really good thing, and this team should be all right. So, look, I'm in that clubhouse consistently. The vibes are good. Profar brings good vibes, and he's playing well on the field. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But look, I'll say this as well, and I know this is sort of a long answer, but like, to me, there have also been, despite them being 18 and 19, some good early indicators that this team is not the one from a year ago, in the sense of they've already won four games in a row. They've already shown a propensity to battle back in games. They had a stretch of three series and, you know, a game against the Cubs, they were down 8-0, came back to win it 9-8. Two games in LA, they were down, came back to win it. Like, just the types of wins that they weren't getting last year at all. To me, those were some good early indicators that this year and this team is a little bit different. Now, there's been some ups and downs. They're sitting a game below 500 here on May 5th. It hasn't all been perfect. But I think you've got at least a little sense that you know, it's a different team from a year ago. They've at least won some games that I don't think they necessarily would have won last year. So we'll see how it all bears out over the course of 162.
You made me feel better about my prediction, Sam. So I appreciate that.
I don't think you're crazy at all. Look, I'm also kind of bullish and high on what this team could be. They need things to go right. They need a lot of different pieces to perform well. But I do think if they do that, yeah, I think this is a team that should be, especially after the trades for season arise.
Thing, Sam, is that you can't discount, you know, we talk about this at the deadline usually, like, 2 or 3 months from now, but you can't discount the impact that message that sends to that team, that to do a trade of that magnitude, it is, we believe in you guys. Not right. To say they didn't believe in before, but it's just another punctuation on that statement. And
right.
and so for a team like this, where you're sort of hovering, boom.
And also I would say that another piece of the Arise trade, which I don't know if you've discussed, but that's, I think, a very important part of it, is the fact that then after the fact, it got reported that the Marlins were going to eat most of his salary for this season, which for a team in the Padres that is trying to seemingly stay under the CBT, number one, it helps them in doing that, but it also means maybe there is another move to make more towards the summer, towards the trade deadline, if this team is in contention right in the mix. And with AJ Preller, you can't count him out. He figures out ways to get talent here. You know, not that it's all been, you know, perfect in the way it's played out on the field, but there's one thing you can say about AJ. It's that he's really good at evaluating talent, rebuilding his system, and he will find a way to get talent onto your roster. And I get a feeling that if they are in contention, this team is probably not done. And they do have, because the way they handled the money part of the Arise trade, they do have, I think, some wiggle room to go do more.
We have T-shirts being made. AJ Preller is not boring. That's a fact. He's not there. Sam, thank you so much. Great stuff.
Yeah, you got it. Absolutely. My pleasure.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro recharge kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.